The following interview was conducted with Joyce Carson for the Laurel County African American Heritage Center Oral History Project. It took place on July 5, 2005, at Ms. Carson's home in Pittsburgh, Kentucky. The interviewer is Laura Smith.
My name is Joyce Carson. I live in Pittsburgh, Kentucky. I was born in Laurel County in January 1935.
Okay, Joyce. I wanted to start today by asking you a little bit about your early family history. Who were your parents?
My mother was Rosetta Baker, and my father, D. Corsi Baker.
And they were both residents of Laurel County?
Yes.
In Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh?
Mm-hmm.
And did you have siblings, brothers and sisters?
Mm-hmm. I had my mother's first marriage, it was three of us. Sister Mary Louise Baker and James Walter Baker. And her second marriage, it was two boys, Charles Riley and Wayne Riley and Norma Riley.
And can you tell me a little bit about your parents, what kind of work they did, what kind of work your father did?
He worked in the coal mines.
And what coal mines would that have been?
Here in Laurel County.
Was that Altamont or?
No, here in Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember the name of that?
No, I never did learn the name of it. It was kind of a family business.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother, she, at that time, she didn't work.
And with the coal mining, what kind of work did your father do in the
imagine
mines?
Old coal, deep coal, whatever. I don't know a lot about, you know. All I know that my uncle had a mines and you know, the family worked in it.
Oh, so your family owned the mine?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yes. Uh-huh. Up here by George Humphreys, where it was.
Okay.
I was told.
So that's in North London?
Right.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
What was your early home life like? You said your mother stayed home with the children?
Yeah, we lived right here in Pittsburgh in my father, he got killed by a train in the early 30s. I guess I was about a year old. So we stayed with, from then, we stayed with my grandpa and grandmother. And later, you know, she married her second husband.
What were your grandfather and grandfather's name?
Mary Baker and Burr Word.
Oh, so that's the Word side.
Uh-huh, and the Baker side.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what did your grandfather, what kind of work did he do?
He worked in mines.
He worked in mines also. So would most of the males in your family worked in the in the family mine?
Uh-huh.
And then, and that was owned by your uncle.
My great uncle.
Your great uncle.
Uh-huh.
And what was his name?
Dan Tinsley.
Dan Tinsley.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And do you know how long they had owned the mine, or?
No, I really don't know. No.
Where did your grandparents live at that time? In Pittsburgh?
In Pittsburgh.
As well?
Uh-huh.
So going back several generations.
Right.
your family lived in Pittsburgh, Kentucky,
right. Uh-huh.
Which is just a small community
right.
in London.
Right.
Uh-huh. And
they come from Tennessee.
Okay. Do you know yeah. where in Tennessee?
No. No. We ain't traced back that far.
But they did migrate up from right. Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
And do you have any, know anything about why they came to Pittsburgh? Or
for work.
For work, for yeah. the mines.
Right.
For working uh-huh. in the mines.
Yeah.
Had
uh-huh.
they done any, do you know if they'd been mining in Tennessee?
No.
No, you don't know?
Uh-huh.
And so they came here for work. And at the time, was there a large African-American population in Pittsburgh?
Mm-hmm.
There was.
Mm-hmm.
How many families? Can you speculate on how many families there were?
I really don't know. I know the Bakers and the Tennessees and the Patterson, Raleigh's. It was several.
And were they all involved in mining? Is what was that the main industry?
The men.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And would most of the women work in
were
the homes?
Home.
Okay.
Right.
In the home.
Done washing for mm-hmm. people and, you know, caring for babies. they pretty much, from what I have heard, people took care of other families, you know, went in and done for them in sickness or mm-hmm. whatever. I know my grandmother, she was good back going, you know, helping other people with, you know, in sickness. And I can remember that.
Did they ever, though, do laundering and child care for money? For
I imagine people? So. I imagine so.
What are some of your early memories about growing up in Pittsburgh?
In Pittsburgh, we left here, when I guess I was about four, we moved to East Bernstein, you know, that's when my mother married, second marriage. But my grandpa and grandmother still lived here, so we would come on the weekend and, you know, spend the weekend with them. And it was kind of hard to explain. we had a good childhood life between, you know, going backwards and forth. We'd ride a train from East Bernstein to up here, cost 10 cents.
So there was a train that uh-huh. would travel from East Bernstein
right.
to Pittsburgh.
22, name of the number the train we'd ride, the train after school on Friday, and come up here and stay till Sunday evening, and then they'd pick us up and we'd go back to East Bernstein.
Now, how far of a distance is East Bernstein from here?
It's about 5 miles.
5 miles?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there was a train. Would the train also go into London?
Mm-hmm. It'd go yeah. on through London. You know, Corbin,
uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I don't know, Parlin, probably.
Do you know, was it the LNN or what?
Uh-huh.
It was
LNN.
The
LNN? Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so it would cost 10 cents to go from East Bernstein
right.
to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Where was the train depot?
Right down the road here.
Uh-huh.
About a half a mile.
Half a mile from uh-huh. your home here?
Right.
Pittsburgh?
Mm-hmm.
And in East Bernstein, where was it located?
It was located, you know where Pool Land is?
Uh-huh.
It used to be a depot there.
Okay. Yeah. You can still sort of see the train yard
right,
in East Bernstein when you drive across from the market.
Right.
Stuff, you can still sort of see it.
That was a big depot. And then here it was, you know, good size. The post office and the depot and the store was there. I was trying to think who run the store. Joseph family had a store there, and then the post office and the depot.
It's hard to imagine now. We just drive back and forth.
Right.
So easily. Were you allowed to ride on the train by yourself? Would your parents just send you, or
no,
an adult?
No, we could ride by
ourselves. You could ride by yourself?
They put us on, when it stopped, we'd hop off. And,
and your grandparents would meet you down here?
Sometimes. We'd done it so often, we just lived a little piece up, you know, from, we'd run till we got there. And we'd stay from Friday to Sunday.
Was there much, a lot of traveling going on the trains as far as people coming in and out of the area?
Yes.
So there were
mostly that's what, you know, wasn't a lot of cars at that time. And they traveled by train.
Were they coming down for business at that time?
What, people?
Uh-huh.
Well, I guess that's where they travel, you know, for different reasons.
Yeah, I was just wondering, because I know that London and Corbin used to be larger stopovers for people, especially because of the mining going on.
Well, Altamont used to be a big booming coal place.
Mm-hmm.
It's for my time, but, you know, I've heard them.
You heard stories. And where would Altamont be located? Is that in the northern part of Laurel County?
Yes, in northern part of, on 490.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be 025.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a big, there was actually a coal camp there.
Yeah.
Correct. Did any of your members of your family work there?
No, I don't think. No, the Rileys did.
The Rileys did.
Right.
So your mother's second husband, your stepfather, his family would have worked in Altamont. Can you tell me, going back to your grandparents, can you tell me a little bit about what your weekends with them would have been like?
Coming to Pittsburgh, it was something. It was awesome. You know, my grandfather, he was just like a father, you know. And my grandmother, she moved to Louisville in later years, but my grandfather was a nice black person to live here in Pittsburgh. And we, my oldest sister and me and my cousin, Keisha's mother, now it's three, we all about the same age.
Hazel. Justice.
Oh, we used to come and we looked forward, you know. We had the house to ourselves, we cooked and call him Pappy Word. That's what everybody called him. And we would, he'd always on Friday, when he got out from work, he'd get the goodies and bring them because he knew we'd be there. And it was a good, you know, we had a good childhood life. Yeah.
Did you ever hear any stories about some of your older relatives? I'm thinking in particular of Sophie Word.
I heard a lot of talk about her through, I have sinus, my eyes are just water all the time. Not really. You know, older people, they never did talk to younger kids like we would ours, you know, now. They were more secret, you know, about telling about their grandparents and all. So not really. I've heard more since I've been grown than I did when, you know, through my younger age.
Because Sophie, would she have been your grandfather, Pappy Ward's grandmother?
Mother.
Or mother.
Mother.
That was his mother. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't talk too much about...
No.
Her.
And now, my grandfather, he raised, let's see, 5 girls and 2 boys. His wife passed away having childbirth. Mm-hmm. So he raised his family himself, you know, and ain't moved then. My mother's sisters, you know, they knew Grandma Sophie. But I never did know her.
Let's go back to when your mother remarried and you said you guys moved to East Bernstein,
mm-hmm.
where the Riley family was living.
Mm-hmm.
How was East Bernstein? Because, as you said, it's only about 5 miles from
right.
Pittsburgh. But how was it different from Pittsburgh?
Well, at that time it was more black people in East Bernstein. People had moved either to London or moved away, and it was more black people down there.
Why was the community just sort of rallied there? Or do you know why? Was there jobs there, or
no? Why? I don't know really why they moved out of here. I think maybe the work got, you know, more spread out, you know, I don't know. They just moved out from here.
What kind of work was there that was better? Just still mining?
Mining and, yeah, timber. Imagine timber. Farm. A lot of them, you know, farm. I imagine this recently.
Was there better farmland out in East Bernstein, or?
Probably so. People own bigger farms. Mm-hmm.
Did your family in East Bernstein own property, or?
The Riley family had a big farm.
How large was it?
I imagine it's I'd say 70 or 80 acres. It was a lot, because we done a lot of farming, you know, grow wheat, corn, you know.
We never did
raise any tobacco, but garden, you know, hogs, horses, yeah. I was raised on the farm.
So did you and your siblings then worked on the farm?
Yeah.
When you were younger, what kind of jobs would you have done?
Well, I wasn't too much on working out. I never was. Now, my oldest sister, she loved that. She could play or do anything. I pretty much hung around with Mama, you know, washed the dishes, washed clothes, and, you know, iron. I never did work a lot at at Nafia.
But some of your brothers and sisters did.
Yeah.
And they would help your stepfather with the farming. And were there other members of the Riley family, uncles or aunts?
Right.
They, that would work too?
Yeah. They'd go, you know, work together.
And then would you sell?
No, we...
Or you just, you did it all for yourself?
Right. We take the corn to the corn mill and make meal and take the wheat to the meal and make fire, kill hogs, whatever.
And you guys would eat everything yourself or, I imagine, share with neighbors sometimes, or did you trade?
Yeah, pretty much. Mama would can a lot, you know. Even back then they didn't have freezers and all that to put meat in. We'd can sausage and ribs and backbones, whatever, for the winter, and burr potatoes, you know, apples. We put them under the porch, you know, wrap them. That would be our apples for Christmas. And just, you know, survive like that.
Where were the mills at? Where was the mill at? The mill for the wheat and the corn?
Oh, in London. They
in
had
London.
A mill. Had mill. Take it to London, and they would, you know, shred it or whatever, make flour and meal.
Was it located sort of near downtown London? Or
The corn mill was down on 4th Street. And the wheat mill was right at the hill going up to hospital.
Up to Marymount, where that is now.
Right. Yeah.
What was the, you're talking about your canning. Can you tell me a little bit about what the canning process was like?
Oh.
Because that's sort of a lost art. Getting
you never have canned?
I have canned before with my grandmother. But a lot of people have stopped canning.
It's back then didn't have pressure cookers. You know, we built a fire outside and take a big tub and, like, put our beans in the jar and put them in that hot water and let them, you know, seal. That's the way the corn or whatever, you know, that's the way we can put it in a tub. And the meat, we done the same way, you know, to seal it where it would keep. Sausage, make sausage, kill hogs and make sausage and put them in a jar and seal them up.
I've never canned meat before. I've never canned meat. I've always done the beans and the corn. But with the meat, what do you treat it with? Anything? Or
you just put it in the jar. You don't put no water or anything. Just put it in and put it, you know, let it seal in hot water about 20 minutes. No, you don't put nothing in.
That'll last for a long time.
Smokehouse, we had a smokehouse where we put a ham, you know, hang them up to let them season that, cure that. And Midman make bacon out of.
And so you guys had your own family smokehouse. That was on your on your property. How was the home sort of set up? Because did you have, you had a smokehouse and then your family house. Did you have an area for livestock?
Yeah, we had a barn. Pig pen. We had when the corn got hard, we had a, let's see, what was it called? know what it's called. A little house where we take and pull the corn off in the shirt and put them in there. Then we shell it for the chicken, you know, feed the chicken, hogs and stuff like that. Animals.
Can you tell me a little bit spatially how it was set up?
What's that?
Can you tell me sort of how it was set up on the property, like where things were located?
Well, we had a house. And then in the, not too far from the house, about 10 or 15 feet, was the smokehouse. And then the barn was away from the house, you know, because we had in the pig pen.
Mm-hmm.
They were chicken pen. They were at, you know.
Behind the house,
right.
Quite a ways.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then your fields were right there behind the house as well.
Mm-hmm, on the side.
On the side, okay.
Mm-hmm. And the garden was close to the house. No well. We didn't have running water. We had to draw water.
So is that something you might have done, or one of your siblings?
Yeah,
did you help here?
I've drawn water out of the well. Yeah. Then later on, now my stepfather is Wayne's father. He's kind of like Wayne. He was real gifted. He could do about anything. Then he finally put a drum on the side of the house and run water from the well to this drum in the kitchen. We still didn't have a bathroom. Our bathroom, you know, our toilet was out from the house. But he managed to put running water. We thought we was in heaven when we got that running water in the kitchen, which helped a lot, you know. And he, as I say, Wayne is a lot like him. He was real talent. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Within the house, what kind of stuff would you help your mother with?
Wash the dishes, about anything. Mop, about anything had to be done. Iron. Back then we had to iron even a dish rag. Didn't fold up, put them away. We had to iron them, you know. We didn't have much, but what we had was, we took care of it, you know.
Mm-hmm. And I imagine you had to share a lot of stuff with your siblings.
Yeah.
While you lived in the home.
Right.
How many brothers and sisters total lived in that house in East Bernstad?
Let's see. It's five of us.
Five. And
mm-hmm.
all five lived
mm-hmm.
in that house.
Mm-hmm.
And so did you share bedrooms? And
yeah, pretty much the girls had, you know, stayed in the bedroom, and the boys had the bedroom. Of course, now me, Mary, my oldest sister, and I, we're quite a bit older than the last three. So we was pretty much grown when Wayne especially. Well, it's 6 years between Norman, Wayne, and June. And it's 6 years between me and June. So, you know, we were kind of grown.
Mm-hmm. Did you babysit them?
Mm-hmm. Wayne, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you were almost more like an older auntie.
Right, yeah.
Something like that. Jenner. I know that you guys worked a lot growing up, but what were some of the leisure activities that you did? What did you guys do for fun? I know that on the weekends you would come back here to Pittsburgh and stay with your grandfather. But
we went to school, then we went to church, you know, and on Sunday evening we would gather at this house, and we would, you know, the kids would play different games, and you know.
What kind of games would you play?
Hide and go see, ring around the roses, and just, you know.
Now the house that you're talking about, would that have been a member of your church?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So after church, you guys would go.
Right.
Would you sort of eat?
She always, she was a good cook, and we'd have ice cream or, you know, something like that. But,
what was her name, do you remember?
Beatrice Carson.
Beatrice Carson?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So would she be related to your husband? Because you're a Carson.
Right. She was a... Wow. Now, it was a big B and a little B.
Oh.
Yeah. Junior's mother, they call her Little B because she's short. And the other one was tall, so they call her Big B. So that's where we'd go after church and play ball. And to dark, and then we'd go home.
We'll move on to school here in a moment, but just talking about life growing up in East Bernstein, I imagine there were most of your neighbors African American that lived around you. You said that's where the population went. So what was that like to live in a smaller community that was mostly African American and then go out to, I imagine, on some chores, like you said, when you'd go to the mill and things, you'd go into London, which was larger and predominantly white at that time.
Right, yeah.
How was that experience for you growing up? Did you think about it much, or?
Not really. We would go, after we growed up, we would go, we rode train to London to the movies after we got, say, we 13 or 14, you know, we was older, teenagers, junior sister, other, and we ride train to London to the movies and come back on train, go back to 2 o'clock at the church and go to the movie, and then we ride the train back to East Bernstein. But we didn't come in contact with the whites a lot, because it was, you know, it just wasn't.
Would most of your sort of local businesses then in East Bernstein, would they have been African American owned?
No.
And so you did?
No, it was stores run by, you know, the white.
Mm-hmm. And so there was another, still a grocery there.
Mm-hmm.
There was a grocery there.
Right.
So you would go to white businesses. I mean, there weren't a lot of African-American businesses.
Yeah, and we'd go to London, come to London, you know, for dry goods.
Mm-hmm.
Like Goldie's, it's a store used to be there that we'd go, Hackney's, Jones's store, you know. And, but we went around. Now, when we was here in Fitchburg, you know, a lot of the blacks left. Like I say, my grandfather was the last black that lived here. And he had friends, they loved him, you know. And
white friends.
Uh-huh. Yeah. We ran white here more so in East Bernstein. Yeah.
In Pittsburgh, but like you said, most of the people moved to East Bernstein, and you think that that was primarily for work, or do you think that it might have been to live in an African American community?
Probably in the African American community, because it wasn't that much work in East Bernstein after the coal business. They pretty much hauled coal, junior's age, my husband's age. They hauled to the bluegrass, you know. It wasn't a lot of work there. Well, in fact, it wasn't a lot of work there for even the whites, you know, Laurel Grocery and Watkins Wholesale, you know, places like that. You know, they worked places like that. Law. I mean, it was pretty much, to me, for his work condition, it was pretty much equal, you know. You had to make a job, what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm. So everybody sort of had
right.
It hard.
Formed, the whites formed, the blacks formed, you know. It was, some may have had more than others, but they pretty much had to make their own living. You know, were no big factories or or anything, so they had to make their own living. But Junior, he worked, my daughter now, she's from Williamsburg, so this lady that she worked with kindly, I don't know, impressed her that, you know, they was rich or whatever. And him and her husband and Junior drove trucks right side by side. You know what I'm saying? So they pretty much had, everybody had to make their own job. Now, up London, the Hackneys and the Chestnut and Jones, now they had it, but pretty much the rest of them are.
Yeah, out more in the
right,
country,
in
outside,
the country.
Of the, outside of the city.
Right, had to make their own.
Because I imagine job. East Bernstein is still right now fairly rural.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine back then it was even less development.
Right. Yeah. And some of them was fortunate, you know, to go on to school or whatever, you know. Taught school and different things, but pretty much to me, I mean, that's my feeling, that in the country, everybody had to make their own job. One may have a little bit more than another, but still, they had to make their own jobs.
Speaking, so you were one of the people who got to go to school, you were saying.
Well, I went to East Bernstein to the, well, then they call it the colored school, and I graduated from there. And then we moved to Harlan, for a year, and I went to high school at Rosenwald.
At the Rosenwald School there in Harlem?
In Harlem.
What was, do you remember the name?
It was Rosenwald.
It was just called the Rosenwald School?
Okay. High School.
Oh, okay, high school mm-hmm. in Harlem. Mm-hmm. And had you moved there because of your stepfather's job?
Or? Right. He worked in Cold Spring. And we stayed there a year, and then we come back, moved back to East Merced, and that's when I went to Lincoln Ridge.
Lincoln Ridge, mm-hmm. which was a boarding school.
Right, yeah.
In Shelbyville, is that right?
Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Let's start with the East Bernstadt School. At what age did you start going?
I started at six. Well, really, I started at five because my older sister likes 10 days being a year between us. So she was the only little girl in the school at that time. So they let me go, you know, just to be with her. And so we graduated together. I kept up, and they let me graduate with her from the eighth grade. It's a one-room school.
Where was that located in East Bernstadt?
It's off on 490. Mm-hmm. Used to be 2025. You turn left, and it's about less than a half a mile up that road. I forget the number of the road. And it's a little one-room school.
Do you know what's there now?
I believe it's a trailer there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's completely been torn
down.
It
was burnt down.
Oh, it was burnt mm-hmm. down. What year was it burnt down? Do you remember?
I don't remember when that school was burnt. Yeah. No, I don't remember.
Why was it burnt down?
I don't know whether it was set on fire or what happened. But it was a year that the kids went to Hazel Green. You may ask Wayne, I don't know. We moved to London. I got out of contact with it.
Now, when you say it was the year the kids went to Hazel Green, do you mean
they integrated,
into uh-huh. Hazel Green,
right.
which is a small school
right.
out in East Bernstadt?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it burned after that.
Uh-huh.
But you're not sure why, if someone
no.
set it on fire?
No, I'm not sure. Never. But it was first teacher that taught there was Emily Smith, and she taught a short while, and then Claude Yopie taught for several years, and then Lillian Butler was the last teacher, that's who I graduated from her.
How many children attended when you were there?
It was about 15.
15?
Mm-hmm, something like that.
And all different ages?
Mm-hmm. First through the eighth grade.
And what teachers did you have?
I had all of them.
You have all three of those.
Mm-hmm.
They all went through.
Mm-hmm.
And so you went straight from the first
to the eighth
through
grade.
The eighth grade.
Right.
And what was school like? Did you like school?
Yeah, I liked it. Our last teacher was more active than the other. We'd done different things, had plays and had box suppers and different activities. It was good.
What were some of the, social activities that went along with going to school?
Well, like I say, we had plays and box suppers. We had to raise money, you know, especially after we got lights in. Material, you know, pencils and stuff like that, that we, you know, teacher liked, what the county didn't, you know, give.
So you guys had to raise money, or the parents helped raise money because the county didn't provide any money.
Very little.
Yeah. Did you guys have textbooks that you worked out of?
Yeah, we had books. Writing books. Yeah, we had books. They furnished them. Mm-hmm.
What kind of plays did you guys put on?
I never will forget this one. We had Old MacDonald. That was the funniest one. But we sung and we pledged, you know, in Legion to the Flag and sung every morning. And we just had a good time.
Do you remember who some of your classmates were at that time?
Richard, you want me to name?
Sure.
Richard, and James, Andrew, and Junior, William out there, and Don, Carson, Kurt went one year, and Mary Ellen, Sir Ellen,
Diane Baker,
Johnny Carson, Gertrude Brown at that time, Carrie May. I mean, it was a good number of them.
And what other were there other schools in Laurel County at that time for African American?
London.
Mm-hmm. And that was located
on Mill Street.
Mm-hmm. Near where the church is now, is now the African American Heritage Center. But it was across from there, or?
No, it was down, you know, where Shamrock
Glass.
Right, in that spot.
Oh, so right where the glass factory is now, that's where the London...
They've been long toward it then.
Who did?
They haven't been long toward the...
Oh, they just recently tore it down. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And that was a Rosenwald school as well, wasn't it? It was funded.
Yeah, I think so, okay. Yeah.
Did you know any of the students who went there?
Yeah, my mother went there.
Oh, your mother went there when she was younger.
Mm-hmm.
So how old would that school have been then? That would have been there.
Let's see. It was, Mama was born in 1916. She had to be. I really don't know whether she went to elementary there or after she got up some size. You know, I never have learned where the black kids went to school here. After they got up, I know she went to London. Her and her sister and my aunt on my father's father's side, and, you know, they went to London, and even some of the East Bernstein School, some of the older ones from East Bernstein went to London, too, because that's when this lady, Dolores Anderson, gave the land to the county to build a school because the black kids, you know, had to go so far to school. That's when they built that school down.
When they built the East Bernstein one? So Dolores Andrews.
Dolores Anderson.
Anderson, sorry. Mm-hmm. So she
gave the land.
An African-American woman, and so she gave the county a land to make the East Bernstein School.
Right.
So the children wouldn't have to travel all the way to London. Okay.
She lived, she had land, and she gave the front part facing the road, and her little house was in the back. But she gave the land to the county to build.
Do you know about what year that would have been?
Let's see. I was 5. I imagine it was in the 30s.
In the 1930s, she gave the land.
Yeah. Early 30s, I imagine.
Now, after you went to the East Bernstein School, you said you went there through the 8th grade and graduated from the 8th grade. And then you started high school in Harlan?
Right.
So then your family moved to Harlan for a year. And what was, and you went to a Rosenwald school. What was that school like?
It was all black. Just a big stone black, you know, big stone building.
And it was a one room as well?
No, it had several.
Had several classrooms.
Right.
Yeah. How many teachers were there, do you remember?
I imagine it was about six.
Six? And were there a lot more students at that school?
Yeah, it was. That was all up through there is the mining camp. And all the little towns, you know, little places, community, that's where they went to school.
So were you drawing students from little places like Benham and Lynch and
Forest Plant and all up through there had to, you know, mining camps.
So what year would that have been that you started high school, that you started your freshman?
Let's see, I had to camp. It's about 51.
51?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so the mining industry was still doing fairly well at that
time.
Right,
yes. Booming.
And there were a lot of African Americans.
Oh, yeah.
Living in Harlan County at that time, working in the mines. Mm-hmm. And your stepfather, was he still driving coal, or was he working in the mine? He was working in the mine.
Yeah.
Do you remember which mine he worked in?
Forest Plant.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so he was doing the deep mining?
Right.
Go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you guys then lived in a, did you live in a coal camp?
Yeah.
With him?
Right.
And what was that?
It was there in Forest Plant.
Okay.
Forest Plant.
Was it all African American? So it was an all African American.
Right, these houses they had, you know. It was a little, I don't know what you call it. Well, they call it a camp. With houses, you know, nice houses. They were nice houses.
Can you tell me a little bit about what it was like living there?
Well, it's just roll of houses and people, you know, some bought and some, you know, rented from the commissary. They had a commissary there that you could buy your food, clothes, whatever you need. You bought it from the commissary. And they live good. It was good living there. Mining camp.
Did you meet families there from sort of all over that had come to work there?
Or? Yeah, mostly from the south.
From the south.
Mm-hmm. In but, north, you know, like here, Junior's father, he worked there. His uncle worked there. You know, people went out of here up there and got, you know, jobs.
But did you meet people from deeper south who had come mm-hmm. up?
Mm-hmm. A lot of them. Most of them were.
Where, what states?
Alabama. I lived in Mississippi, just different in the south.
What was that like to be exposed to people from different states, different areas in the country? Did it make an impression on you, or
not really?
No.
Mm-mm. No.
It was just part of it. We've been there.
No, not really. You know, there was nice ones and there were others. Mm-hmm. Some you didn't want to be around. Yeah.
Did you make many friendships there, or was it just you worked so much you just sort of kept to your own family?
And where people associate, you know. Mm-hmm. Pretty much people from here that went associate with, you know, and then the others associate with me.
So you would sort of know other families,
right,
who were from Laurel County or mm-hmm. from this immediate area.
Right, yeah.
And so you would sort of already have friends moving there.
Yeah.
And then the families who would say from Alabama, maybe know other families,
right,
from.
Right, yeah. Yeah. And then some of them, you know, they married some from the south, from here, mm-hmm. you know. Quite a few that married people, you know, that they met from the south.
Would they stay here, or would they
go? No, they stayed in Harlan.
In Harlan?
Mm-hmm.
So you said that it was a good life living in the coal camp.
It was all right. I mean, you know, it's a living. I was young then. Of course, I didn't particularly want to move up there, mm-hmm. but that's where, you know, Mama went and I went. But it was okay. I didn't particularly care for
it. Did you miss here? You missed home, or?
Well, I guess it's back in about, you know, you just hate to go to another place.
Mm-hmm. How many people do you think were living in that one coal camp where you guys lived?
I don't have any idea.
Did it seem large?
It was good size. I guess it's around 20 or 25 houses there. Mm-hmm. They were double, you know. It was a good size mining camp.
But your stepfather only stayed for
Now, he stayed longer. We moved back.
You guys moved back to come back to be with family, or
just come back because we didn't like it.
You didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
What didn't you like about it?
Well, I don't know. One thing, it wasn't no work for women to do. You know, they just wasn't nothing for women to do. But they ran in the camp, gossip or whatever. mining camp is pretty rough. Pretty rough. Yeah, all kinds of people.
Well, what was the... So you only spent 1 year at school, at the Rosenwald School there. And it was fairly larger. What was that experience like for you, as opposed to coming from a school of 15?
A small school.
Mm-hmm. One room, 15.
It was a nice school. Teachers were nice. I learned a lot, you know, what time I was there. And the kids, you know, it wasn't that the kids were fairly, you know, behaving. We went, you know, had ball games, and of course we had to ride a bus to, you know, from Cold Spring to Harlan, and that was about 20 miles, mm-hmm. you know. So we didn't actually, the county, kind of like here, didn't get involved in the school activities because you had to travel.
Travel so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so the school would have been near to downtown Harlan?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's near there, so yeah. It was 20 minutes from where you guys lived. And how many? Did you have siblings who rode the bus with you?
No, I was only one.
You were the only one?
I had friends that, you know, lived there in Cold Spring. We grew up together. No, I was the only one at the household, our household, that went there.
Would you ever go into Harlan any with your mother or with errands, or did you primarily sort of self-contained?
No, pretty much stayed in the mining camp, because, like I said, they had a big commissary there. You could get about anything you wanted, clothes or whatever.
All your food, uh-huh. and supplies.
Mm-hmm.
Was that hard on your mother to not be able to work? Like you said, there wasn't much for women.
I imagine so. She didn't like it there.
Yeah. So you guys came back after a year, and did you go back to school when you got back to East Bernstein?
Lincoln Ridge.
So you went to Lincoln Ridge, mm-hmm. which was a boarding school.
Right.
So the fall that you returned to East Bernstein, you went up there. And what was that? Because that attracted, was that the one of the only schools that had a high school in this area of Kentucky?
Seemed like Borgesville had a high school, because a junior went there a year. But at that time, Rosenwald, the only choice was
to go to Shelbyville. How did you travel up there? Did you have to take a train, or did...
No, our pastor that was at East Bernstein, he lived in Louisville. and we would ride him up and back, you know, or sometimes my uncle would come up and get us.
So when you say you'd go up and back, would you come home on the weekends?
Right.
But you would board there through the week.
Right.
Right.
And then come on maybe Saturday, if he come on Saturday, and then ride him back on Sunday.
So how large was the Lincoln Ridge?
It was a good sized school. I only went there 1 year.
So you went there just a sophomore?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it was fairly large.
Yeah. Different. The counties around Shelbyville, Louisville, and places like that, kids come to.
How many children do you remember were in your class?
I'd say around 15 to 20.
15 to 20 in a class?
Mm-hmm.
And how many teachers, do you remember how many teachers would have been there? How was the dormitory living?
It was okay.
It had to be quite different.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all right. Had bunk beds. Had to go out for, you know, for meals in the dining hall. But it was okay.
Did you know some of the kids already when you got up there? Were there other people your age from East Bernstadt or from Laurel County?
Yeah, I had several cousins from London. You know, kids from London went. So
you already had some friends.
Right,
people. Was it scary, though?
Mm-mm.
To go, no?
No.
To be away from home?
No.
What was,
We had a good dorm. Janet Cumgaddy. Mm-hmm. Your dad's downstairs.
Yeah, he's supposed to go fishing.
This one, my son.
Which one's that?
Mark,
okay.
No.
Let's see. You said you had a good dorm. Did you have, like, a dorm mother or somebody?
Dorm mother, yeah.
Who was that? Do you remember?
Let's see, what was her name? Can't think of her name.
Do you remember, what would have a normal day have been like?
A what?
A normal day, sort of. What was your routine at the Lincoln Ridge?
Well,
school?
We went to class. I was a cheerleader.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So did they have a basketball team
football.
And football?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had, activities.
So you actually then got to do a lot of after school activities at that point because you stayed there. So what else were you involved in besides cheerleading? Anything
this
else?
Song.
That's it, cheerleading? And you cheered for all the sports teams?
Yeah.
What kind of classes were you taking at that point as a sophomore?
English, biology, science. No, I didn't take science. Algebra.
And did you like school? Did you you said you dropped out after your sophomore year.
Yeah, it was hard for my mother to support. So I
How could. Much, do you remember how much the tuition to go there was? You don't?
The county paid your board.
So Laurel County would have paid for your board.
But you had to pay, you know, your clothes and
spending money.
Yeah.
Did you have to pay for anything like your books or school supplies?
No,
that was all paid for. But just your living, your clothes and spending money and stuff. So that was, it was too much to afford. So that's why you came home.
Yeah.
And so when you came home after your sophomore year, did you go to work at that point?
I worked at a restaurant in London for several years. And then I...
What restaurant was that?
What was it? Daisy Myers. Run it. I don't remember the name of that. I don't believe it had a name.
Where was it located at?
Right behind the school. Where the Shamrock.
Oh, so it was right behind the London.
You know where that... equipment. There. That's where it was.
It's back there. And who, you said the Myers?
Daisy Myers.
Myers. Were they a white family? Or, okay.
Yeah.
And so they ran it. And what did you do at the restaurant?
I helped cook, wash dishes, and then, you know, she lived in the back and I'd clean or whatever had to be done. I worked there for several years. And then I went to Dr. Smith. I worked with Paul
Smith. Paul Smith. He was a doctor.
Right.
Was he a general practitioner in London? Where was his office at? Was it?
Medical Arts.
Medical Arts, okay. And so you worked, so you would have been 17 when you started working for him?
Yeah. And I worked for him. Several years. And then I, at that time, I went to my oldest son, Bill. We call him Bill. He had surgery, had eye surgery. And we went to, he had to have surgery in Atlanta, Georgia. And when I come back, they had to start, before I went, they put, had start building Lower Heights, and they had put a application in the paper, you know, for people that want to apply, and I applied for it, for a job.
Now, can you explain to me what Laurel Heights?
Nursing home.
It's a nursing home.
You know, right across from, behind Marcus.
It's on Mill Street.
Right.
As well.
And when I come back from Georgia, they called me. And then I got pregnant while I was in Georgia with my last son, Gary. And Miss Baker was the administrator that time. She called me in for an interview and I said, I can't come to work. I said, I'm going to have a baby. She said, well, you go home and have your baby. And when you get ready to come back and I'll give you a job. So I worked there 8 years in high, at Law Heights.
We'll go back for a moment, back to your working for the Smiths, though.
Smith.
For the doctor. Let's talk about that a little bit more, and then we'll go back to Laurel Heights. So you start when you were 17. And were you married?
No,
You didn't get married till later?
Later.
Okay.
I didn't get married till And then I was working at a restaurant at 17.
You were working in the restaurant at 17.
Right.
Okay.
Uh-huh. I didn't go to Smith's till I was about 20. I think I worked for them about 19 or 20. Uh-huh. Yeah. And then I went, worked for Dr. Smith.
Now you worked in the home there, and what all does that mean? What all did you do there?
Well,
for the doctor's house.
Whatever had to be done, I was pretty much, you know, just took care of the house. And they had two daughters, and then they had a son. Later on, had a son. I just took care of the house and the kids, you know, kids.
And you looked after the kids.
Babysit for them when they had, you know, go out of town.
What was his wife's name?
Ann.
Ann Smith.
Uh-huh.
And was she also in the home?
Mm-hmm.
So she was there. And
yeah.
Would you do a lot of the cooking, too, for her?
No.
Or did she do
No,
the...
she done the cooking. I mostly just clean and iron and babysit, you know.
Watched after
Real
the
nice
children.
People to work for. It's just like being at home, mm-hmm. you know.
So you had a good experience
mm-hmm.
working with them.
Yeah.
Do you remember what your wages were at the time? What you got paid at that time?
50 cents an hour.
Mm-hmm. And how many, would you work there 5 days a week?
No, I'd work about 3 days.
3 days a week.
You know, babysit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that, how many hours then in the day would you work?
8 hours.
8 hours,
I'd work
3 days
eight
a
days.
Week.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that the working conditions were pretty good.
No, they were good, yeah.
You liked the family,
mm-hmm.
and they were good to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was that what most younger women in their 20s in the African-American community, were they doing that type of work?
Yeah.
Was that pretty typical
right.
of what
uh-huh.
people were doing? What were the men doing at that time? What were some of the jobs?
They, like I said, farm or mm-hmm. truck or worked in mines or
they were
know.
Still
uh-huh.
in the mining
yeah.
community then at that time. And
yeah.
when you say trucks, you mean hauling coal?
Hauling coal to the bluegrass.
Right.
Uh-huh.
From
or here, putting them on trains, whatever mm-hmm. they call
them. The coal train?
Yeah.
The coal cars?
Yeah.
Loading them on there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they had a lot of deadlift mm-hmm. coal, and they had tipple, you know, where they graded the coal out. That's pretty much what they done.
So you worked for the Smith family then for
mm-hmm.
how many years?
I guess about 5 or 6 years.
5 or 6 years mm-hmm. until you went to, you applied for Laurel Heights and
mm-hmm.
went. So during that time, you got married to your husband, Junior Carson.
Right.
How
yeah.
old were you when you got married?
I was 22.
22.
Mm-hmm.
And so you had known Junior all your life.
School, right.
Right. Pretty much, because you had gone to the
yeah.
school. Is Junior, is he your age?
He's 4 years old.
4 years older.
Mm-hmm.
So how was When did you start dating?
Really start dating? Mm-hmm.
And so you had known Junior all your life, school, right?
Right.
Pretty much, because you had gone to the school. Is Junior, is he your age?
He's 4 years
older. 4 years older. Mm-hmm. So how was, when did you start dating?
Really start dating Junior, I guess I was about 18.
18?
Mm-hmm. 17, 18.
And he finally got up the nerve to ask you.
Yeah.
What was the, what would people, young people at that time do as far as dating? What would you got, how would, where would you guys get together?
Well, back then they had a little restaurant. We'd go there and we'd go to the movie.
Now there used to be a movie theater downtown in London?
In London. Used to be two. Minutes
mm-hmm.
and Rita. Mm-hmm. Minutes was the old theater. And it was right there in the building. You remember where Barton's used to be?
Mm-hmm.
And that side street there used to be there. And then Rita's was over on Main Street by the pool room.
Mm-hmm. So he would take you to the movies
mm-hmm.
sometimes?
Oh, you know, we'd stay home or go to church or something like that.
And then you got married at 22.
Mm-hmm.
And then when did you have your first child?
In, let's see. 56.
56.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a, you had a total of six?
6 years.
6 children.
Mm-hmm.
Over how many years?
Let's see. Well, I had them. My first three was 22 months apart. And then Ed and Mark 16 months apart. And Ed and Gary, 4 years apart. So, my first three, I had them close. Never had two babies in diapers, though. Yeah.
And then you also eventually helped raise, I guess, your youngest brother. And your youngest sister.
Mm-hmm.
Which was Wayne
and Norma.
And Norma. Mm-hmm. And you took them in. And so, did you actually have 8 children in the house at once?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, had 8 at one time.
How did you manage?
Don't ask me. Norma was a lot of help. You know, of course, help taking care of Gary and Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I'd done it myself.
Cause how old was were
Norma
Wayne and
was
Norma?
Norma was 13 and Wayne was 7.
Seven.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Wayne was the baby then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So at 13, she could help.
Yeah.
She was.
But I've always, I never did put a lot on the older kids. Either, you know, after I start working at Laura Heights, I'd work at night, and Junior was home at night with him. I was home with Dave, and if I sleep, I was there,
mm-hmm.
you know. And we just got along fine. Each one had no what the chores were. And I do the cooking and washing, and even the boys learned to wash dishes and mop whatever had to be done, because we didn't form any, you know, and they didn't have nothing else to do, so.
Because by that time, had you moved out of East Fernstad?
Mm-hmm.
And you were, where were you living?
At the
when
time.
Once you and Junior got married.
We lived at East Fernstad for several years.
Okay.
And we got burned out. Our house got burned out. So then we moved in different spots at East Fernstad. And then we moved to London. And moved to Ferrussi. That's when we moved to Ferrussi. And we lived there for several years. And then got burned out there, and that's when we moved out on Falls Road.
Okay, so from your original house in East Fernstad, you said it you got burned out.
Mm-hmm.
There was a fire there.
Yeah, our house got burned.
Do you know what caused
from
the fire?
Bad
wiring in the
right.
house. So then you moved several different places. Eventually, you moved into London.
Mm-hmm.
And you said Uncle Russ, who was Uncle Russ McKee.
Right.
And he owned several cabins.
Cabins.
And one house?
One house.
Okay.
And he let us move in. Well, in fact, he lived in a house and we lived in a house. And he rented the little cabins there. In some way, caught the cabins on fire, and the fire come up the wire to the house for the fire department to get there, you know,
mm-hmm.
house was gone.
Hmm. And where were those cabins in that house located?
In the back of the house, where the house was set up on the street. And the cabins was in
sort
the back.
Sort of behind it. But that was on where today Mill Street Park is.
Not hardly.
No, it was.
You know where the brick house is?
Yes.
It was up.
Closer to there. So it was, it's.
You know that right old house set on the corner of Mahon?
Uh-huh.
In the brick house?
Uh-huh.
Okay, our house sit. In between.
Okay, so it was Mahon Avenue.
Right.
And was that what it was referred to, that area? Would you say the cabins at Mahon, or did it have a name? Or
no.
It's just everybody knew where Uncle Russ's cabins were.
Yeah.
And who did he rent the cabins?
To different, people come in working at the tobacco warehouse or just, you know.
Railroad or anything like that?
Mm-hmm.
Just workers who were coming in
right.
who needed, primarily all men, or did they bring their families?
Yeah, men, mostly. Yeah.
And it was all African-American, that area.
Right,
that he was renting to. And so then, but you guys had the only house besides his house.
Right.
That you rented and lived in. And so this would have been the late 50s, early 60s?
Yeah, early 60s.
Early 60s, okay, when you were living there and when the fire happened.
Right.
And did he ever rebuild the cabins or the house?
No.
So he got burnt out and it was gone.
But now he lived there till he passed at his house. You want something to drink?
Oh, no, I'm fine.
Okay.
If you need to take a break. Okay, sure, we'll take a break because this tape's almost
get me up.
Now, when we left off, we were talking about living over at Uncle Russ's. We're still talking about his cabins and his houses that he rented. And he also ran a restaurant. Is that right?
I don't remember whether he ran a restaurant.
Or did he work at a restaurant?
I don't remember that.
But he did at one point, because I know he's known for his relationship with Colonel Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
So he did at least work.
He might have worked for them.
For Colonel Sanders, mm-hmm. You think so?
Because they said, the recipe he made up. I don't know whether it's true or not.
I've heard that a lot too from several people, that the Colonel's original recipe, the secret recipe, was actually Uncle Russ McKee's recipe for fried chicken that the Colonel made famous.
Right.
And they did have, because Colonel Sanders did come back, even after he started his restaurants and that started going, whenever he'd come back to Laurel County, wouldn't he visit with
Uncle Ray?
And the other story I've heard is that he paid for his funeral.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Did you go to the funeral?
No, I don't know. I don't know how come I didn't go to the funeral.
What was Uncle Russ like? What were some of your memories of him? Because I hear a lot about him from people. He seemed like a big figure in town.
He liked to socialize. You know, he made friends.
So he was somebody everybody knew.
Uh-huh. Yeah. He believed in helping people. You know, I imagine he has plenty, you know, different ones that didn't have anywhere to stay. And he was good with young people, you know.
He helped young people
mm-hmm.
a lot. How would he help them? By giving them money or work?
Or you know, taking up time with them. And
just spending time.
Right.
Did he sort of try to mentor people? Or did he try to sort of guide people?
Or he had his little faults. You know, he had his little, I don't know how you would say it, but he would tell them, you know, if they get out of line.
And so he was a McKee, which was another fairly large African-American family.
Yeah.
Still is in Laurel County. There are still McKees.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And did that family originally live in East Bernstadt?
No, they were all from London.
In London.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know where they were originally from.
But they always, mm-hmm. when you knew them, lived in London.
Mm-hmm.
And did he do fairly well as a businessman with his rental property? Or?
Yeah, I imagine so, yeah.
So he was just sort of a local person about everybody knew.
Right.
Yeah. And
Hang out.
You would hang out down at the cabins or at his place?
At his house.
At his house. There's.
Uh-huh. He was once married to Junior's aunt. He had one son.
With Junior's aunt. Uh-huh. What was her name?
Roberta
Carson?
No, Nelson.
Oh. Nelson.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
He was married to her, but they didn't live, you know, together long. She was from Crab Orchard.
Crab Orchard?
Mm-hmm. And they had one son. His name was James Arthur McKee. And he had been about 2 or 3 years he passed away. Mother married again to up in Ohio, and he was well known. He was a policeman there.
in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Now, during this time, because we're talking now about the early 60s, because before in your childhood growing up in East Bernstadt, you'd said that the African-American community was pretty, you didn't have much interaction with the whites that also lived in East Bernstadt or lived in London. But by this time, was there more interaction? Because I imagine just where you live, because where those cabins were, I mean, it's pretty central to downtown London.
Downtown.
You're not very far off from Main Street. So was there more interaction? I mean, you were working.
You mean in work, you know, what?
Well, both in work and socializing.
Really, not until my kids got in school.
Mm-hmm.
That's when, you know, because, you know, I stayed busy at home. And then I went at, you know, went to work. for Dr. Smith, ma'am, and the kids was in school, so I got to learn, you know, learn different parents, you know, going to ball games and different activities, got involved in Cub Scout and Brownies with Etta. So that's when it began to, I got involved with, you know, people, and didn't have no problem.
Did your children go to London Elementary?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Elementary school?
Uh-huh.
They all went there, or started out?
Yeah, they all went there. They went from, you know, through high school. Well, Norma graduated from London.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Wayne graduated from Laurel County, South Laurel.
South Laurel High School.
Uh-huh, yeah. Norma was the only one that graduated from London School because they had the graduation at First Baptist Church. Mm-hmm. But this mostly when, well, this when I got involved with, you know, the whites, and through the kids.
Mm-hmm. Through school activities, mm-hmm, and sports and
right,
things like that. Let's talk a little bit about your church life and about the different churches.
Well, let's see. Church, I went to Adamant Baptist Church. That's where I grew up.
Is that where you were baptized?
Mm-hmm.
And so, Altamont Baptist Church, where was that located?
When we first started, it was in Adamant, old church where been there for years. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many years. As a child, this were up until I was about 13. Then they moved this man that on the farm where the old church said, he decided that it was so inconvenient. Then black people began to get cars, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he suggested he had land where it'd be convenient to get in and out.
Mm.
So he swapped. He gave the land on the main road for the land in the field. And we built a church. And
Was that also called Altamont?
Mm-hmm.
So it kept the same name,
right,
the same congregation,
yes,
it just
right,
moved.
move from one place to
buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And but it was in Altamont, mm-hmm. within that community,
right
in London.
Where's it now?
So it's still there.
Well, it's a bit a new one. It was just a small church, mm-hmm. and then you know they built another block church,
a bigger one. What was the congregation like at the first church, the one that you went at Altamont? How large was the congregation?
Oh, it was back then pretty much everybody went to church, you know. Older people, mm-hmm. you know, the older people and all. I'd say it was around more or less 50 or 60.
50 or 60 mm-hmm. people who mm-hmm. went. Who was the, some of the preachers that came, mm-hmm. do you remember?
Well, Reverend Jerry Shaw and Reverend Mice and occasionally, let's see, what is his first name? LaRue passed.
And were they all, did they come from somewhere else, or were
no,
they local?
No, they lived. Reverend Mass lived in Louisville.
In Louisville. And so mm-hmm. is that the same Reverend that you would go to the Lincoln mm-hmm. Ridge with, who would mm-hmm. travel back? So he would come down
right.
for the weekends. And was that pretty typical to have reverends coming from out of town
yeah.
down here
yeah.
to preach at the churches?
Mm-hmm.
What was you'd mentioned before on Sundays after church you would go to people's houses and have ice cream or have social activities. What were some of the other things that as a congregation you were doing at that time?
At church,
mm-hmm.
well, we'd have Bible school, we'd have choir practice, and, you know, we had a choir and Sunday school, just Bible study.
How many, did you only go to church on Sunday, or were there services?
No, we had Bible study on Wednesdays. Mm-hmm.
And were there different clubs with the church? I mean, did the women have an organization at the church?
No.
Or no? Nothing organized? But you would usually, as a church, have a meal after church on Sundays, and
not all the time. We'd have basket dinner, you know, something like that, but not every Sunday.
Not every Sunday. Mm-hmm. I've seen some things, old clippings from the newspaper that advertise, you know, special picnics, and especially these full moon picnics.
Yeah,
did your church ever do that?
We had like 4th of July, mm-hmm. we had a big picnic of this lady lived right on Old 25, which is 499.
Mm-hmm.
They'd have a big picnic on 4th of July. And then my Aunt Lou, after Miss Brand, you know, passed, my Aunt Lou, my son, they'd have a picnic on 4th of July. June's gone outside.
Do you need to get the phone?
Oh. Is it bothering me?
No, it's okay. I mean, I can stop if you need to get the phone. Okay. So mainly for holidays, did you guys have homecomings at that point, or is that something that developed later?
No, 4th of July
was also the homecoming, mm-hmm. and so families that had moved
come in.
Would come back.
Mm-hmm.
Did a lot of families at that time in the when you were younger, from birth to 13, were there still a lot of families who were moving out of the area?
They stopped moving out.
Where would they go?
North, mostly.
Would they go north? Were there particular cities where people migrated to? Or
Louisville, Lexington, Ohio.
A lot of people go to Cincinnati or anything.
Cincinnati. Leary, like my sister, her husband, family, they moved Cleveland, Ohio, you know, up that way.
Would people oftentimes go places just totally on their own, or would they move somewhere where they already had some family or neighbors?
Mm.
So they would go somewhere that they might know at least one other person or one other family. And what was it, what were some of the jobs then that they were going up there for?
Well, my brother-in-law, he went to Ford. Just different.
Just whatever they could find. Was it more like factory?
Yeah.
Type jobs. Okay. So after you were 13, you left the Altamont Baptist Church?
No, I stayed there I stayed there till we moved to London.
Till you moved to London. No, so when you said till you were 13, is that just when the church building moved? When you were 13?
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
But you stayed there until you were like...
About 20.
20. And then...
Well, after we stayed there till... After me and Junior married, I was around 23, I guess, when we moved to London.
And so when you moved into London, what church? Mill Street Baptist Church. And who was the reverend at that time?
At that time, Reverend Hill.
Reverend Hill was already there. So that would have been the early 60s. Reverend Hill was there. And what was the congregation, how large was the congregation there?
I guess it's around 30.
30, 40. So it's a little bit smaller than Altamont had been. And how was it?
See, Altamont only had one black church. But London had, there was the Methodist and the Baptist and a Holiness church.
Okay.
So they had three kind of split, you know.
And were all those congregations about the same size?
Probably so.
Okay. Where was the Methodist and the Holiness Church located?
The Methodist Church, let's see, there on Broad Street. What's in that building? Well, it was right behind the Christian Church on Main Street.
Okay, you mean the First Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, the pink...
Yeah.
Brick church, so it was behind there.
On Broad Street.
On Broad Street.
I think it's a doctor's office.
Yeah, okay.
Something in there.
So that was the method. What was it, the name of that? Did it have a name? Or?
Methodist, London Methodist. I don't know. Probably London Methodist or something.
And then the Holiness Church.
Holiness Church was down where but the light, if you go into town, right up from Kenny's garage.
Okay.
So it was
on North Main Street.
What is it? Karate place there.
Okay.
Right in there.
Right in there. So it was actually very close to Mill Street. Okay. So it was close because the Mill Street Church then is now the African American Heritage Center that's on the corner of Short and Mill. Okay. And now there I've heard from other people that they used to, even though there were different congregations in London, different denominations, that there used to be a thing where you all the congregations would get together once a month.
Yeah, is that on fifth right? Sunday.
The fifth Sunday. What was the fifth Sunday? Can you tell me what that was about?
It was just the fifth Sunday joint meeting for the, you know, do all the churches come together and have service all day.
But it was only the African American mm-hmm. churches that would get together and mm-hmm. you'd have service all day?
Mm-hmm.
Would you cook food and
yeah,
have food
dinner.
Together?
Mm-hmm.
And how would it rotate?
Right.
To mm-hmm. the different churches.
Right.
And,
yeah.
and what was the purpose of...
It was just to bring, you know, people together.
Even though you were different denominations.
Denomination. And, mm-hmm.
So would the different... So if it was hosted at the Holiness Church, you would have a Holiness service?
Or it was just service.
It was just service.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And they had, you know, they take up collection and they divide it and they'd have we'd have send cards, you know, for sick or death or had a flare fund. You know, it's just get together, socialize.
So something just sort of to keep the community
mm-hmm.
together active. And active. Would you guys have any sort of joint fundraising
mm-mm.
or anything like that?
No.
Okay. But so it was just more to get people together.
Yeah.
Okay. And then eventually, the Holiness Church and the Methodist Church have both been torn down.
Mm-hmm.
But the Mill Street Church managed to outlast
right.
both of those.
Yeah.
How come? How come that was the one that lasted the longest, do you think?
I really don't know, unless it was more Baptist, you know. People move or mm-hmm. die out, you know, out of the other churches. That's only reason.
When did the Mill Street Church, it eventually closed? In what year?
I don't know. Don't remember what year.
Okay.
After Reverend Hill left here, had different ministers, you know, and it just, like I say, people died out, older people, and people moved away, and problems, you know,
mm-hmm.
riots, whatever.
So you never found sort of a replacement after Reverend Hill left?
No.
It just sort of had rotating, was it mainly people from out of town who became
mm-hmm.
sort of visiting?
Ministers. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Where would they come from? Do you remember?
Lexington. We had a couple from Louisville and then Lexington.
And they would be sent down by the
Association. Mm-hmm.
But you never found a permanent
no.
replacement for Reverend Hill.
Now, Minister Reverend Black stayed here, I guess, longer than any of them at the Reverend Hill there. But it wasn't a long time.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Did the congregation numbers then dwindle?
Mm-hmm.
A lot, so it went from being 30
yeah.
down to
just 12 or 15.
Went
way down.
Was another factor, because I know now there is no, you know, primarily African American church. I mean, were people also just sort of integrating into white churches that may have been closer to where they lived, or was that a result of the Baptist church closing?
No, I don't think so. It's just getting a, you know, pastoring that in a, you know, building up the church.
The congregation. Mm-hmm. You're just going to find a pastor.
No. A pastor just about have to live in the community.
Yeah.
To have a good church. Now, Aldermount, River Mai stayed there for 40-some years. But he was dedicated. I mean, he would work with, you know, people. But anymore, I don't know what's become. I just, when Reverend Hill left, then, you know, just didn't work out.
Because you never, none of those pastors ever lived in
London.
And that
Reverend Black
did. Reverend Black did live in London.
Yeah.
For a short
time.
Mm-hmm. But other than that, they were just coming in for Sunday.
And then I forget this other minister, he come in for a while. At that time I had left near street and I tried to go back to East Bernstein, and I went there for a while because I was raised in church. I missed it.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter-in-law, she got in church, and I told her one day, I said, I'm going to go to church with you one of these Sundays. I hadn't been for several months at that time. And I went. Well, I know the pastors, this pastor, church. And I just got involved in it. I've been there ever since.
What church is that, in East Bernstein?
No, it's in London.
Oh, it's in London.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What church?
It's used to be down on 4th Street. It's a Presbyterian
church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so you've been, you're still there.
Mm-hmm. Now we built a new church. You heard of Soul Harbor Pentecost Church.
Uh-uh.
It's sat on 192.
192.
Uh-huh.
Soul Harbor Pentecostal Church. And that's, who's building that? You said they built a new one.
The church that used to be down on 4th Street.
On 4th Street,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
They moved it there.
They moved there.
Mm-hmm.
And so are you going to go to that one?
Yeah.
Okay. Has it opened yet? Or
mm-hmm.
Okay. I do. Is it the one with, they have a daycare there too?
No.
No, that's not it? Okay.
You can see it from the interstate.
Okay.
It's newly built. But, I miss going to all black church, but you know, if you don't get nothing out, it's what you go for.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. What do you miss about being in a all African American congregation?
Well, where you was raised,
mm-hmm.
where you raised your family, you know, you miss it. People, you know, we spread it out so much now, even school activities or whatever is just, you know, which I ain't saying nothing against it, because people are people where I look at it, but where you was raised a certain way, then, you know, it's different. You have to learned to live with it.
Is that, I guess that sort of part of the reason that the Heritage Center was started, is to fill that gap? Or is that something that you are trying to do with the Heritage Center, is to sort of fill that gap for the African American community?
No, not really. I think about the younger generation, they would know, you know, how we come up from time to time. You know, like I say, people are people. It doesn't matter whether you're black or white or red or blue, you know. But it's a gap there that you miss. Yeah.
Do you think that there will ever be a African American church again, or do you think
in
that there's
London?
Yeah.
I doubt it.
You doubt it? Is it just because there's not the desire, or there's not the funding to
do? I say, people are separated so bad. I mean, sometimes you forget where you come from. You know. And we have the tendency, Black American has a tendency to be like that, you know, forget where they come from. If they get a dollar to a head, then they own $5.99. I guess it's just nature, though, but this way.
So when you say separated, you're meaning, because geographically now the families are more separated. I mean, there still are a lot of families who stay in East Bernstead, who still live there, but it seems like the families are more dispersed, you know, through Laurel County, and then a lot of them have moved out of Laurel County
right.
to live other places. But you also mean, do you also mean separated as just like in an emotional sense, or the community's just not as close as it
no.
used to be?
Is that,
just explain to me, I guess, what you
they're
what
not
you
as
more.
Close. Like I say, when we were kids, like when I was a kid, well, I have heard, you know, different ones say, Grandma done this and Grandma done that. And then when I grew up, you know, Mama done this and that for, you know, not only a family member, but, you know, step out, help somebody. Now people don't do that. I mean, you on your own, pretty much, even as a family member. Doing for a neighbor, you know, it's not like it used. Each generation, I guess, changes.
Do you think that the not just with people moving, but the sort of the decline of the churches has a lot to do with that too, of not having, you know, before when there were three African American churches in London, but you still all got together on the fifth Sunday. Do you think just not having that gathering space and that thing to gather around, the church and religion?
Yeah, I think that is something to do with it. I mean, like I say, people are, I know it was selfish people in the older days, but seem like it's more now than ever.
I just realized I passed over some of your work history, too, because we didn't get to talk, because I know you had alluded that you went to Laurel Heights, and you got a job at Laurel Heights. We'll go back there for a minute.
Okay.
So after your second son was born, is that right?
No, okay. I went, Bill had surgery.
Oh, he had surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then, no, I had all of, when I went to Laurel Heights, Etta was the youngest. And then I had my last one, Gary.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked 8 years and a half there as an aide. And then medicine aide.
So you would distribute the medicine to...
Yeah, and I had to take care, took care of the patients. Mm-hmm. And
what kind of hours did you work?
8 hours, 16 hours, whatever
was needed.
Mm-hmm.
And would you work 5 days a week then?
Sometimes 6-7 days before we get off.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to OPEC in 72.
72.
Mm-hmm.
And what it, can you explain what OPEC is?
What it is?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a program funded by the state and local fund to help the elderly stay home, rest home. Furnish service such as meals, on wheels, homemaking, personal care, respite, escort, and then a center had activities and a concrete meals where people come in that was able to come in and have one meal a day and have activities.
And what did you do at OPEC?
As a director.
The director.
Uh-huh.
So you were the director over all of the...
Well, I was hard in as the activity director and I've done that for that 6 years, and then the director left, and they hired me over the whole center. And I was over public transportation. We had public transportation in Laurel County. People take them to the doctor and store, or wherever they need to go.
And how long did you serve as the director there?
17 years.
17 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then you retired. What year was it that you retired from there? Do you remember?
Let's see. 2001.
2001?
Mm-hmm.
So you're just recently retired.
Yeah.
You only retired for 4 years. Do you miss it?
Yeah, I miss it.
What did you like most about your job there?
About the center, people.
Taking care of the people.
Yeah. It was work, but it was rewarding, I hope.
As the director, did you get to deal with the people a lot, or were you more in the office?
No, I got out.
You got out and
I've done homemaking. I've done better. I did everything. Did my aides. I drove the van, done homemaking, personal care, delivered meals, when somebody was off, whatever had to be done. We had an Alzheimer's daycare at the center. I worked in it. just whatever.
Where is the
fundraising?
Was it mostly private funds that you had to get, or did the
county
provided most of
it?
In United Way.
Then we done fundraising nights, had bake sales.
And you organized all of those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you were in charge of all the budgeting and everything.
We had a bookkeeper. Come to Valley on Aging. Are you acquainted with it? That's where we contract from them. And of course they help with the budget
But the day-to-day operations were all left up to you. I mean, you did everything, it sounds like, besides just planning.
Yeah.
You actually did all the physical.
Of course, we have a board, and they help, with the problems.
How many elderly people did you serve during the year?
A lot. We served around 170 home delivery meals.
Oh, wow.
Besides the Congress run, let's see, about 35. We'd have activities, shuffleboard, checkered, quilted, crochet, have volunteers come in and do different things with the participants.
So is your work there rewarding?
I learned a lot.
You learned a lot?
I learned to quilt.
Learned to quilt? Do you still quilt?
I have not quit since I quit work. Yeah, you learn from older people. Of course, I've always been a person that more attached to older people than my own age group, So, it was a good, didn't pay that much, but it was something that you could look back and say, I helped this one or whatever.
I mean, you were the director. I mean, even if it didn't pay that much, that's a certain level of pride you must have taken in being a director of this big organization. I mean, it's a major life accomplishment, I would think. To be the director of something.
Well, I got my GED after I started there.
After you started working at OPEC? Did you have to have it to be the director?
No,
just got it on your own?
Mm-hmm.
Did you provide GED services there?
No.
You just got it on your own?
No, Sue Bennett, when they were still there, the director that was there when I was hired, the office was at Sue Bennett, the aging program office up there, and I took it up there.
Was it difficult? Did you have to study a lot, or just go in and take it? Did that sort of fulfill something for you, having had to drop out of school?
Right, yeah.
So it was sort of helped fulfill.
After I had all my kids.
after you'd raised all your kids.
Yeah.
You went back and got the GED.
And now all of my kids and Wayne and Norma, they finished high school. And Bill, my oldest son, he teaches at Him and Tim went to Berea.
They went to Berea College.
And Evan went to Kentucky.
Kentucky State in Frankfort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Were those the three that went to college?
Uh-huh. They finished.
They
and
finished
the other
college.
Three, they started, but they dropped out. Yeah.
What are your children doing now?
They all got good jobs. Tim, he majored in business. And Bill, teaching. And Edda in criminal justice. And Rick works for that railroad out of Corbin.
Yeah, for CSX?
Uh-huh.
In Corbin.
And Mark works in the gardens. And Gary works at UP, United Parsons. Norma works for co-op over in Illinois. Of course, you know where Wayne's at. Wayne went 1 year to Sue Bennett.
He did go 1 year to Sue Bennett. And then he mainly worked as a carpenter for many, many years,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he got, he finished in a course at Laurel County in carpentry.
In carpentry?
Yeah. Wayne can do anything. He said his head.
Yeah, he said before he was like his father, where he could do about anything.
Him and my oldest brother, he's Charlie, he's so fat now, he can't do nothing. But he's the same way. I said, him and Wayne got it all the year. Me and my sister didn't get nothing. Norma finished Scott College, my youngest sister. She finished in Utah.
Oh, in Utah.
She was, her husband was in service. So when she got married, and they traveled around, so they stayed in Utah long enough for her to finish college.
Where did they live now? Where do they live now?
They're divorced now. She lives in Illinois.
Okay.
He lives in North Carolina, Charleston.
Do you sort of consider Wayne and Norma like kids, even though they're your youngest brothers and sister? But you did, like you said, when she was 13 and he was 7, you raised them
like,
since then.
They just like the rest of them. And my kids feel like, you know, they know that they're
their
uncle and aunt, but, you know, it's just...
Treat them more like brother or sister.
Yeah.
Because of the age.
Now, Edda, my daughter, she traveled a lot with Norma when she's in service in the summertime. I worked all the time. So Norma would take her in the summer and keep her. She traveled ever since she was a little 8 year old, I guess. California, Utah, North Carolina, Virginia, wherever, you know, they were stationed. Norma would take her and keep her during the summer for her. So they just like sisters.
Well, let's see. I think we're about done for today. Said I think we're about done for today. I don't want to keep you too much longer. But let's sort of go out of some question. We talked earlier, you know, you were talking about changes that you've seen in the community. And could you just sort of expand on that? How one of my questions was, how has the African American community changed through the years? And I know you talked about that a little bit before, that you don't think it's as close as it used to be when you were a child.
Well, people, I know they, you know, the older people, I don't know how to explain. They're not, just not as close. I mean, I really don't have to explain.
Just families aren't as close.
Uh-uh.
Do you think that the African American community is smaller than it used to be, or is it larger, or can you say?
I wouldn't say it's any smaller,
mm-hmm.
because they just don't. I guess the people look the lifestyle mm-hmm. has a lot to do with it, I think.
How so?
I know drinking, adultery has always been, you know, being around, but it's more or less more open
mm-hmm.
now. People were more private with whatever they done. Mm-hmm. They're more bold now.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care what the other person think or sees, you know, out of them.
And some of that is, don't you think, I mean, London now is wet after so many, I mean, they can serve alcohol now
mm-hmm.
in public. What you're saying is true. I mean, there's always been drinking and there was yes. always certainly bootlegging
right.
and things. But it's more public right. now because you can go to a restaurant
yeah.
and drink in public, yeah. which is a new thing here. So, I mean, do you think some of it's just the changes in the town, you know, because London's just, it's grown a lot,
but like I say, people back then were more private
mm-hmm.
what they done, whatever, you know, they wasn't open with their doing.
Mm-hmm.
Is there.
And you think that was better when people were more discreet or?
To a certain extent. I mean, I know you can't hide nothing for so long. You can't hide nothing from God. But, you know,
you definitely see a change though
mm-hmm.
in people's attitudes
yeah.
or just behavior. I guess too, this is sort of a little bit related to the change over the years. But how do you feel that race relations have changed in Laurel County through the years? Because I know just from your narrative, what you've told me, when you were a child, you didn't have a lot of interaction. And then in the 60s and 70s with your children becoming involved in school, then you had more interaction. And certainly at OPEC as the director, were mainly serving. I guess most of those seniors were white.
Right, serving. Yeah.
So how have you seen race relations change?
Between black and white. Like I say, I never was out a lot. In different ways to be denied, you know, of whatever. So, I heard different ones that has been exposed. But for as myself, I've not. My relationship with whites, I'd say, in some respect, has been as good as with blacks. I mean, that's the way I feel. It might be that I've not been exposed, you know, a lot. But in working, I never did apply for a public job until I went to Laurel Heights. I was, you know, well done. And then when I went to OPAC. So I've not been denied of any, you know. And then I worked there at that restaurant when I was young. So I really can't say that I've had any bad, you know, relationship. Even when Wayne and Norman went to school, before my kids started, it's always been, you know, if I had a problem, I could go talk about it. They never did have any problems, you know, real big problems in school.
Well, were there some problems? Said they never had real big problems, but...
Oh, as child, you know. Mm-hmm. No, they never did have no problems. Just minor little problems, maybe. They'd have, and I'd have to go in, talk to teacher or the principal, but not no big problem.
You think minor problems, you mean with them or with other students? Or?
Oh, with other students, teacher, I had one.
Yeah,
I had
teacher.
To go teacher, but, you know, it was solved. It wasn't no... there's a whole with my life and kids' life, I think it's been.
So did you definitely see though a difference between your life here in London and sort of in a small town and you know, especially within the 60s and the 70s and what was going on, you know, deeper south with race relations.
In London.
Did you see a difference between what your experience was at that time and maybe what the broader sort of perspective of what was happening in the south
Insane.
At that time?
Yeah.
Do you think it was different than other African Americans were experiencing?
Yeah.
You know, deeper south.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And do you think that's just our area, or the fact it's such a small town?
It's small town, smaller town.
Mm-hmm.
less people.
Mm-hmm.
I think the African American people here, they live in, they doing what they want to. They doing what they want to, so. Yeah.
Good. I guess that's going to wrap it up for today.
Okay.
Do you have anything you want to add?
No, I don't guess so.
Anything we didn't talk about or any final thoughts?
Well, if I do, I'll holler at you.
Okay. You know where to reach me.